From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for today's broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the third commandment in this series of studies on the law of God. That commandment, of course, says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." As Dr. Cairns has already shown, God has revealed Himself to men in a number of ways, the first of which is through His name. Other means He has used are His works and His word. But the fullest expression of God's revelation is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we'll see today, that revelation places a grave responsibility upon men, for God will hold all men accountable for what He has revealed. Furthermore, this commandment contains a serious warning that God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Job chapter 8, verse 11. Can the rush grow up without mire? The rush is spongy and hollow. And even so is a hypocrite. There is no substance or stability in him. It is shaken to and fro in every wind, just as formalists yield to every influence. For this reason the rush is not broken by the tempest, neither are hypocrites troubled with persecution. I would not willingly be a deceiver or be deceived. Perhaps the text for this day may help me try myself whether I be a hypocrite or no. The rush by nature lives in water, and owes its very existence to the mire and moisture wherein it has taken root. Let the mire become dry, and the rush withers very quickly. Its greenness is absolutely dependent upon circumstances. A present abundance of water makes it flourish, and a drought destroys it at once. Is this my case? Do I only serve God when I am in good company, or when religion is profitable and respectable? Do I love the Lord only when temporal comforts are received from His hands? If so, I am a base hypocrite, and like the withering rush, I shall perish when death deprives me of outward joys. But can I honestly assert that when bodily comforts have been few, and my surroundings have been rather adverse to grace than at all helpful to it, I have still held fast my integrity? Then have I hope that there is genuine, vital godliness in me. The rush cannot grow without mire, but the plants of the Lord's right hand planting can and do flourish even in the year of drought. A godly man often grows best when his worldly circumstances decay. He who follows Christ for his bag is a Judas. They who follow for loaves and fishes are children of the devil. But they who attend him out of love to himself are his own beloved ones. Lord, let me find my life in thee, and not in the mire of this world's favor or gain.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place," unquote, Joan Pinkston. Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. These sensitive renditions are sure to bring blessing to your heart and mind each time you listen to them. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
We have every reason to tremble at the truth of God. Truth will unmask the full depravity of our nature. Truth will rip aside the facade with which we so easily cover up our sins, even from our own consciences. Truth will show us what we are as God sees us, and will expose us to the flaming judgment of God in His Word, in His inflexible judgment and justice. We have every reason to fear truth. But thank God, with truth, He combines grace. And that could only happen in Christ. The psalmist foresaw this in the 85th Psalm, verse 10. He says, "Mercy and truth are met together." How easy it is just to jump over those words and miss their meaning. They seem to be antithetical. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The only place that could happen is in the person of Christ, at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where grace and truth come together. That's where righteousness and peace kiss each other. That's where God can be just and yet the justifier of ungodly men through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has been graciously pleased to give us a revelation of Himself. Second thing we learn from our text is that revelation of God's name imposes a very grave responsibility upon us. This revelation demands a response. I want you to understand, you cannot read the Bible without making a response to it. You cannot hear the gospel without making a response to it. Every time God gives you the revelation of Himself, He demands and He will have a response to it. The Word of God is clear as to what it ought to be. In the book of Psalms, we read in Psalm 29 and 2, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Later in the 66th Psalm, the psalmist says, "Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious." That's the response and the responsibility the Lord has laid upon us. In contrast, the Bible forbids taking upon our lips the names of other gods. Listen to what Moses was inspired to write in Exodus 23 and 13. "In all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth." The psalmist in the great messianic 16th Psalm and verse 4 says, "Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips." Now it's clear from this that taking the name of a god upon your lips is an act of worship. It's an act of acknowledgement of that God. So when you take the name of God on your lips, it should be in worship. The only proper use of the name of the Lord is to use it in a worshiping acknowledgement of His person, His word, and His work. That's how to obey the third commandment. Isn't this what the Lord Jesus taught in the words of what we call the Lord's Prayer? He said, "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He's using the words of Isaiah 8:13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Peter took up the same theme and he said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. The only proper use of the name of the Lord, the only allowable way for us to take his name upon our lips is in holy awe, with the purpose of glorifying him or edifying men. Thus, it's proper for us to use his name in worship. We should use his name in prayer. Prayer is calling upon his name. Prayer is coming to God using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should, in worship, use his name in song. But we should be very careful how we use his name in song. I get very disturbed at some of the so-called hymns and Christian songs that are used. If you turn to the 5th chapter of Revelation, you get a picture of how we ought to use his name in song. There you have the gathered company of the saints. They're surrounded by angels, and they're lifting up this mighty name of the Lord, and they're crying, worthy, worthy, worthy. Thou art worthy. What holiness, what awe, what glory, what joy in their song. None of the light, stupid, frivolous, worldly and wicked nonsense using the name of God in meaningless gibberish that passes for song. I'm sure you had the chorus over here. I think it originated in America. It came to Britain and it was the whole rage. Every children's meeting sang it. Every young people's fellowship sang it. And it was hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. And as they sang it, they would have the boys sing hallelujah and the girls sing the next hallelujah, and they would sit as they would stand as they sang and sit down when they weren't singing. They were up and down and up and down, and it became just like a gymnastic exercise. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. I told our young people's fellowship in Ballymoney, I ban that chorus as utter, total, unmitigated blasphemy. And I told them why. And I thank God they accepted the reasoning. But wherever we went, yes, even in Free Presbyterian churches, they were so dulled and stupid, so insensitive to the holy name. They didn't know in singing they were blaspheming. Remember a time we were making a recording in our studios in Ballymoney. I had nothing to do with making recordings. As you would know, I have no skills in that direction. But it so happened on a Saturday afternoon, I had a few minutes myself, and I drove out. And I heard what was the mix, as they call it, of this song. A young woman singing with a very pretty voice. Shall we gather at the river? The beautiful river. Shall we gather at the river that flows from the throne of God? She sang it a cappella. And as soon as they got to the words, the throne of God, there was a crashing of 12 string guitars and whatnot. And that's the point at which I walked in. I said, what on earth do you think you are doing? They looked at me as something from outer space. I said, scrap it right now. That will never go out of this studio. What's wrong? The throne of God? And is that jangle? Is that what the throne of God suggests to your mind? Is that the only response you have to the throne of God? We never thought of it that way. Well, think of it now. Think of it now. Oh yes, it's proper to use his name in song, in doxology, as the scripture does. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's proper to use that holy name in benediction, as we did this morning in the morning service at the dedication of the little one. And the great Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Again and again in the New Testament, Paul and the other apostles give out these great benedictions. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is good and proper to use his name in worship, both private and public, but be careful even there. It's possible in prayer just to recite the name Lord meaninglessly as a filler in until you think of something else to say. Better to be silent. The name of God is a holy name, even in worship. It's also proper to use the Lord's name in witness. From time immemorial, the solemn oath has been an appeal to God to confirm the truth of what we say. And in its proper setting, a solemn oath is a serious religious exercise. It is never to be spoken out of mere passion, anger, or vehemence. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1:23, I call God for a record upon my soul. He said to the Philippians in verse 8 of chapter 1, God is my record, how greatly I long after you all. And in one of the most solemn oaths ever taken, in Romans chapter 9, Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Let me say, any professing Christian who could ever make that vow or take that oath and then deliberately lie, I think is still an unbeliever in heart, a stranger to God. It's a solemn thing. A solemn oath in witness. For God is my witness. And every word I say and every act I take.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.